Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right, well today, kind of went back and forth on whether or not I should bring this word. It was from a Wednesday night service about, 5 years ago in 2018. And I was reading through some old notes and I saw this word and I felt the Holy Spirit highlight it and say, I want you to release this word today. And so whoever you are that's here today, God loves you so much that he wanted you to have this word today. It's called the limitless wisdom of God. The limitless wisdom of God. So, one of my very favorite things about this promise is, and I'll read it to you from James here in a moment, is that God's wisdom, not only is it limitless, but our faults and our failures don't limit his wisdom. Isn't that good? But we must have the humility to ask for it. How many of you need wisdom? I mean, you'd be fools not to say you need wisdom, because we all need wisdom, right? Foolish people don't think they need wisdom because they think they know it all. But James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of the giving God. So let's just stop right there. Let him ask. Mike Murdoch, who is a well-known minister, evangelist, who I've followed for many years. He's just a wisdom guy. He puts out a little wisdom devotional every day. It's like a few paragraphs or sometimes just one. But he said this years ago, I was in a service, and he said, the sign of humility, because humility has behavior, it has a manifestation. The sign of humility or the proof of humility is reaching. Reaching outside yourself toward God for something. That's the first sign of humility, because what it means is that you acknowledge that you're not God and that you need God and that God has more than you have. That he's the one who supplies what you need. And so that's the first act of humility. And nothing comes to your life from God without humility. God resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Right? Grace is God's supernatural divine supply, unearned. You don't earn it. It comes from him. So you don't have to perform for it. Right? Grace is God's gift, his divine supply, his empowerment, and it comes to us, how? By faith and by asking for it. We don't get salvation without humbling ourselves and admitting that we can't save ourselves. Salvation is a gift of grace, unearned, unmerited. So we get grace from God when we humble ourselves and we ask for it. God doesn't, even with salvation, say you have to get it together in order to be saved. He says, I'll take you just right now, right the way you are, all messed up. I want you that way because I'm going to make you well. I'm going to heal your life. But you need my grace in order to do that. Yeah? So we all need wisdom. We need wisdom in this hour. We need wisdom for decisions. With regards to our children, we need wisdom. At all times, we need wisdom. We need wisdom in our business adventures. And they should be adventures, not just ventures. Just kidding. But life is an adventure. We need wisdom in our relationships, on who to partner our lives with and friendships. We need wisdom in how to raise our children. We need wisdom for what's on the horizon. There's a lot of stuff out there right now. There's a lot of knowledge. We're going to talk about that in a moment. There are a lot of things being presented to us as wisdom. But the Bible says there's four kinds of wisdom. There's human wisdom, there's this earthly wisdom, there's devilish wisdom, right? And then there's the wisdom from above. A divine wisdom from God. And we need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And the Bible talks about the wisdom of God being a person, not just ideas and philosophies and theologies and all of this stuff. The Bible says that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is, because like humility, wisdom manifests. Wisdom manifests. It shows up in your life. Wisdom was there in the beginning with God, but wisdom needed to manifest. Wisdom showed up in a human suit. Wisdom came and manifested himself and walked among us. And wisdom, true wisdom from above, can only come through a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm building something here. Stay with me. Isaiah said of Jesus in Isaiah 11:2 that upon the manifestation of wisdom, Jesus, will rest the seven spirits or the seven manifestations of God. The spirit of wisdom. Come on, stay with me, Bible students. The spirit of, I'm going to name them, the spirit of wisdom. So the first thing that's going to rest on Jesus is the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the wisdom of God. And the spirit of God manifested in the flesh in the person of Jesus, and his spirit, the spirit of wisdom rested on Jesus. The spirit of wisdom. Number one. You're not going to get the wisdom to live a divine and a supernatural life with wisdom that comes from above without a relationship with Jesus. A true surrendered relationship with Jesus. Number one. What was the other things that rested on Jesus? Other manifestations of the Spirit. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of understanding. Understanding. The spirit of counsel. Counsel. You know, I don't have a PhD in counseling, but what I do have is I have a master's degree. The master of heaven and earth has given me a degree in divine wisdom because everything I teach comes from him as my source. Yes? The spirit of counsel. The spirit of might. As I've been talking about this word fortitude, I discovered today that that word might in the Greek is fortitude. Okay? The spirit of fortitude. Fortitude is not just physical strength. Might. It's not that. It is inner mental and emotional strength that causes you to have stay in power, grit, get her done, get through it. Make it, you know what I mean? It's a perseverance. It's endurance when everyone else is giving up. This is a spirit that came from the Spirit of God that rested on Jesus. That's why he could endure the cross. He could endure all kinds of earthly torture and horrific pain. Why? Because he had an assignment from God and the empowerment of God to endure horrific persecution, horrific pain. This fortitude thing comes from God. Not only is it's a wisdom package, but with it comes an inner strength that causes you to go through persecution and suffering and not lose your faith and not give up and actually take hold of the promises that God has given to you. Amen? Amen. This is all the spirit of wisdom. And then the last thing is the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. This is not fright of God. It's not that kind of fear. It's just reverence. It's a reverential obedience where you see something in the word and you go, I revere you enough. I honor you enough to say yes, even though I don't understand and even though it's painful and even though circumstances in my life are defying what you've said. I am going to wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, I am going to, with my whole heart, do what you say, even when it doesn't make a bit of sense to my human sense. Your wisdom is from above. And my responsibility, because the spirit of wisdom rests upon my life, is to not argue with you, but to say, I don't understand, but I say yes, because I revere you and I honor you enough to obey what you've said, not what my feelings are saying, not what the culture is saying, not what those people over there are saying. God, whatever you've said, it is the word and it is the wisdom of God. And I submit my life to this. Amen. When we approach God this way, we must be ready to receive whatever he says. Some people want a word of wisdom. They don't want words of wisdom. They just want something to get them out of the predicament they're in right now, rather than giving their whole life to the word. You understand what I'm saying? The person of Christ. And I love this, go back to the scripture. I'm taking my time as a teacher this morning. So if any of you lacks it, which we all do, we ask God, the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly. Watch, without reproaching or fault finding, and it will be given to him. It just will. So we come to the Lord and we have, many times I come to him with my poop storm that I've created from doing things the way I thought I should. Hello? And not once does he point out what a poop storm I'm in. He doesn't say, I told you so. You did this. Look what you've done. I've told you things in the past, you didn't listen. This is what we do as parents, you know. The Lord says, good, you're here asking. Let's not talk about your faults. Let's not talk about any of that. I'm not here to reproach you. In fact, I don't have a hard, I don't have hard feelings with regards to giving you wisdom again. It's like, you little punk, I've done it for you how many times, and you're here asking again, you little. No, it's not like that. Oh God, if I have to. He's like, good. You're here. And you're asking. That is a sign of humility. I can work with that. It's off topic a little bit, but I was reading a David Wilkerson devotional this morning on Ephraim. And he said, Ephraim is my firstborn and I love him. He was so sinful. He did so many wrong things. He was constantly blowing it. I mean, if you know, most earthly fathers would just say, forget about it. You're done. But the one thing about Ephraim is he had a repentant heart. He was always like, oh my God. He turned to the Lord. And he'd do good for a while. And then his flesh would get in the way. But the Lord loved Ephraim, and he said, you know what? He's my firstborn. I love him. His repentant heart continued to keep the blessing of the Lord on his life. And we see that he got the blessing. His inheritance, or his seed, got the blessings. The continual blessing of the Lord was on his life. Why? It was a different heart. Because he realized his humanness. He realized his failure, but he kept a repentant heart throughout the whole thing. I see this with David. You know, the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Well, how could David be a man after God's own heart? Killing a man and committing adultery and, you know, fostering a child out of wedlock and all of these other things. But what we see with David is that he continually brought his soul before the Lord, and he acknowledged his need for God. He honored God, even though there were things within his soul that needed to be worked out. I like the way the ERV says it. It says, do any of you need wisdom? That's a question. Then ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone. So he will give you wisdom. You're going to get good at this. I just hope you will anyways. Get up every day and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me to the top and overflowing. And I need your wisdom today. I need wisdom to breathe. I need wisdom to take care of my body. I need wisdom to lead myself. Sometimes I wish there was somebody to just lead me and just, you know, do everything for me. And the truth of the matter is, Holy Spirit does lead me, but it takes that humility. It takes that acknowledging him and surrendering my life to him every day. Amen? Then he empowers me with self-control to lead myself. But when I stop asking for wisdom and I stop asking for the Spirit of God to fill me every day, guess what? I get full of myself. And myself don't do so good with myself. So we need wisdom. I want to talk about knowledge for a moment. Knowledge versus wisdom. Knowledge is the accumulation of facts and information. It's being aware of something. Knowledge is acquired through study, research, investigation, observation, or experience. It's like a tool that needs a hand to become effective. I've met so many people in my time of mentoring, and they'll start telling me all the things they know, and they know a lot from books. They've read it. They got a lot of knowledge. They got a lot of information. I think, why are you here? You know all that. I think it. I don't always say it. I go, that's good. You have a lot of tools. This is something I say to people. You have a lot of tools. But the reason they're with me is because they got tools, they don't know how to use them. Or they're not using them. So wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspects of knowledge are true, right, lasting, and applicable to your life or the lives of others. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge in a way that is beneficial. It's deeper than knowledge. Wisdom is not just knowing what something is. It's knowing why something is and what it means to your life. Wisdom is the hand that picks up the tool of knowledge and uses it in the most effective way. Now, I was going to bring a hammer with me today as a prop, but I'm just going to pretend that my phone is a hammer. See this as a hammer. Now, I'm not going to use it as a hammer because I still want to be able to use my phone at the end of this service, but knowledge is something that anybody can pick up. A fool can pick up knowledge. But also a wise person can pick up knowledge. Knowledge in the hand of a fool is going to use it in a destructive way, in an improper way. Right? And I hurt people with it. I'm going to hit people with it. They're going to use it in an improper way. Wisdom in the hand of someone who has a relationship with the Lord is going to know how much pressure to put on that nail. They're going to know how to hit the nail on the head. Yeah? They're also going to know when not to do that. Why? Because they understand that knowledge is a tool and they know when to apply it. They know when not to apply it. Wisdom with the tool of knowledge is going to build. They're going to build lives. They're going to build the life that God wants for them. They're going to co-labor with God to build what he loves. They will build his church with him. Because unless the Lord builds the house, The laborers, what? Labor in vain. You can build things without the wisdom of God, but it will fall apart. You can build certain things with knowledge and get it so far, but without the wisdom of God, it will fall apart. Again, knowledge is a tool. So if you don't have wisdom, let's just say it like this. If you don't have Jesus, the wisdom of God that goes with knowledge, you're only a walking encyclopedia full of facts and data. A book of knowledge is useless without the wisdom to know how to apply that knowledge. So a person can only, they can have a doctorate. I've seen this. Some of the dumbest people I ever met have PhDs in psychology. Why, you know, and I'm like, why did you go pay them $100 an hour to listen to that? Right? So you can have a doctorate on family relations, but without the wisdom of God, you won't be able to keep your family together. Yeah? What I'm trying to say is every decision that you and I make, everyone, we need to talk to Jesus first. Because I guarantee you, he is going to tell you the truth. Because he is the truth. He is the way, and he is the life. And I hear people saying some of the most cockamamie things I've ever heard. Christians. People that can preach. People that can sing. People that can teach. People that can operate with a gift of God. But even the gifts of God that aren't being used with the wisdom of God can become a destructive force. And I will hear them say, and I think, God didn't tell you that. Did you run that by Jesus? Because Jesus isn't going to tell you to throw in the towel. Jesus isn't going to tell you to do some of these things that are being done by you. And I won't highlight or polarize any one thing, but how many of you have been there before? And you start getting all up in your feelings. Now you're going to start making decisions based on feelings, and you're trying to figure everything out, and your brain is frying out. And you haven't stopped and said, Holy Spirit, I ask you for wisdom right now in what to do. What is the next step? The wisdom of God will tell you to forgive your children. The wisdom of God will tell you to stick it out when your marriage hurts. The wisdom of God will tell you to not throw in the towel and give up and run away from your calling. The wisdom of God is going to give you the fortitude to endure the trial and the adversity until you come through the other side developed and stronger and more glorious, and looking more like Jesus, and sounding more like Jesus. But I'm telling you what, it will not always be easy, but it will be something he provides enough for you so that you can make it through whatever you're facing at the moment. The wisdom of God will give you the instruction of God, and if you will listen, you will come through all blessed up instead of all messed up. I've seen people that can write books. You can write books on transformation, but without the wisdom of God, our lives will not be transformed. Amen? Sometimes I hear regurgitated wisdom, and I'm like, that's good, because the Spirit of God, the Word of God is anointed. It's the wisdom of God, because it's the Word, and Jesus is the Word. But you can even speak the Word, which has wisdom on it, and not obey the Word. And without that reverence and that obedience to the Word, the transformation and the results, the outcomes, are not going to happen in your life, man. So a person with only knowledge, usually becomes a puffed up, arrogant know-it-all, where a person with wisdom will humble themselves and love others, even though they know more than them. They will use their knowledge to build up and edify others rather than just telling everyone what they know. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:1, "Now, about food offered to idols, of course we know that all of us possess knowledge concerning these matters. Yet, mere knowledge causes people to be puffed up, to bear themselves loftily, be self-righteously arrogant, and be proud. But love, affection, and goodwill and benevolence edifies," there it is, "and builds up and encourages one to grow in wisdom." That's what it says in the Amplified, to grow in wisdom to his full stature. Paul's talking to them because there was a bunch of religitards, and some food was being presented, and then, you know, it had been, these people sacrificed food to idols. But it was being presented to them, and some of the disciples were eating it. Doesn't mean they were worshiping the idols that they sacrificed it to. It was just food, and they were doing that out of fellowship with these people. And basically, they're walking around being like, "We don't eat that stuff." You know what? Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut, pray over whatever it was, if it wasn't poison, right? Sit in fellowship with someone and eat their food. And thank God for it, because it really wasn't sacrificed to an idol. It was devoted by you to the Lord. That's what we do. We pray over our food, right? But we can get so stuck on something we know that we end up being rude to people who don't know what we know. Yeah? Just because you know it doesn't mean you should get all stuck up about it. This is what happens when you know more than someone spiritually, and they don't know it. Everything has been sanctified by the Lord. Yeah? I like the way the ERV says it. And it says, "It is certainly true that we all have knowledge, as you say, but this knowledge only fills people with pride. It is love, it is wisdom that helps the church grow stronger." Knowledge is stationary without wisdom. Wisdom puts knowledge to work in an effective manner. So I was going to bring the prop. A hammer is useless without a hand, but it is also destructive if it falls into the hand of a fool. And this is why Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13:2. He said, "And if I have the gift of prophecy and speak a new message from God to the people and understand all mysteries, and I possess all knowledge," there it is, "and if I have all sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have love, reaching out to others, I'm nothing." You know what happens to someone who's puffed up in pride? They think they know everything. Everything is on them. "I'm building this. I'm doing this. I have to have this. I can do this by myself. I can do this marriage by myself. I can do this business by myself. I can do this by myself. I sound like an otter. They go into themselves. They go in their crazy little head. And then they withdraw and they isolate themselves from others. They will not receive counsel from anyone else. Solomon said, "There is safety." There's safety. There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. And not any kind of counselors. Counselors who honor God. Paul said, "You don't live to yourself, and you don't die to yourself." God created you as a separate, as an individual, as a me. And he loves you. But you were never designed to do life apart from him. You were created to be part of a we. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you and the rest of the body of Christ. You are not living in wisdom when you separate yourself from the body of wisdom. I'm bringing it back. Who is Jesus? He is the wisdom of God. Who are we? We are the body of the wisdom of God on the earth. And anytime we get into pride and offense and strife and we separate ourselves from a relationship with the Lord where we are wholeheartedly following him and then we are submitting our life to the assembly, we are not walking in the wisdom of God. And when you separate yourself from the body of Christ, what happens? You become fodder. You become prey to the enemy. Just watch National Geographic and watch when one of them gets separated from the pack. What happens? What happens? They send one really mean animal to go bite that animal. They don't have to kill him first time. Just wound him. Just wound him. And now they're bleeding. And once wounded, then everyone else who was too weak to take that one by themselves comes as a horde, as a pack. Demons operate in hordes. And they're looking for wounded people that have separated themselves from worship, from counsel, from the fellowship of believers. Amen. And what happens? You get out there isolated and slowly you get picked off. Yes? And so God is saying, look, first of all, the wisdom of God is to stay connected to the wisdom of God. Stay connected to the body of Christ, right? Stay in the presence of the Lord. Continue to sit under his instruction and his teaching. He's going to teach you everything you need to know. But just knowing it isn't enough. You need to have the relationship with the wisdom of God to know how to apply the things that he gives you in any given season, not only to your own life, but to the life of your family and the life of your business and everything else. So you guys tracking with me this morning? This was on God's heart. Here's what I've learned. I, quite frankly, would rather have a bunch of people on my team that may not know everything there is to know, but they know how to seek godly wisdom. In the face of challenges, they come in and go, I don't know what to do. I've heard people so many times say, I just don't know what to do, and I think that's fine. You don't need to know what to do right now. What you need to know is the one who knows what to do. Let's get to praying right now, because what's gonna happen is the one who knows it all is gonna not only help you know what to do, but he's gonna give you the tools and help you to do it. And we're gonna be here to help you through it. I would rather have a bunch of people like that than a bunch of know-it-alls standing around spewing information. Yeah. So again, the limitless wisdom of God, this is point two, and I'm bringing this down, can only be acquired by the humble, but it's unattainable to the proud because they have to ask God for it. They have to admit there is a God who knows more than them and that they are dependent upon him. David said in Psalm 14:1, the empty-headed fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 9:10, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning, the chief and choice part of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight and understanding. Amen? So asking, number two, see, asking is acknowledging that you don't know it all. And that requires humility. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. And all you need to acquire wisdom for every situation in life is to come with a humble heart. Ask God and receive his gift of grace and his wisdom by faith. Pastor Simone, if you'd join me. Church, I want to do something. I know we have altar calls before service or before the sermon many times. But I was in prayer this morning and the Lord just said to me, there's going to be a divine supply of wisdom on as you release this message. There's going to be a divine supply that I will release today upon these loved ones. He said, teach them the word and prepare the, Holy Spirit said, I'll prepare the hearts right now, because many of them are in situations where they don't know what to do. They've done everything humanly possible. Some have sought doctors. Some have sought counselors. Some have tried strategies that sound wise, all to no avail. Many of them are standing in faith. They're at a place of desperation, real desperation, where if I don't intervene in their life, they're going to continue to listen to some of maybe some of the best information out there. But what they need is they need a divine impartation of my wisdom right now for this hour. Come on, stand to your feet. I want to open the altars right now. If you can receive this at your seat. Don't get me wrong. It's not like you have to come up here to receive this. But for those of you who are in that position right now where you know, Lord, I need this divine supply. I want you to start to move. Come to the altar. Come up here and stand, and I'm going to come down and pray with you. I will put my trust. Come on, you guys. Move, 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 move. Move, move, move.
I will not be shaken.
Move.
And I will put my trust in you. I will put my trust in you.
Come on, just really, really focus in on him right now.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.